4ZGS Mobile.
Patton 4ZLK Mobile.
I'm on my way back home from music night. I had been charging my Baofeng over there at my friend's house, and I clipped it to my pocket, and then it fell off my pocket, and I bent my antenna.
What happened? You gotta make that first to your equipment. Kind of like getting your first scratch on a new car. It's gotta happen at some point.
Yeah, I was like, dope. So I bent it back straight, and it looks pretty good. It doesn't look too bad. And I turned it on, and I could still receive from it. I have not tried to but thankfully, since I got two radios, I got two of those antennas, so I just put that previously bent antenna back to the other pack thing, and slapped a new antenna on my radio, so we're all good, but I definitely learned something on that one.
Unless it broke inside. But being a Baofeng, there's probably not a lot to break on it. And it's not antenna anyway, or radio, but they do work.
It had like a kink in it, like a bend. Do you think that could add SWR back into the radio?
It's possible, but you're not putting out a lot of power. Before, you know, there was a complete short in the wiring, or in, you know, in the antenna wire there, it probably won't affect it that much.
Well, it's probably fine. It looked bad, but then I straightened it back out, and it looks normal. But I was like, man, come on, dude, it's brand new equipment. I already done dropped it. I guess that's why they put that lanyard on there. But I had it clipped to my pocket, so I wasn't trying to hold it. It was just clipped, and it fell off.
Yeah, that happens. How was music night? How did it go?
It was pretty fun. We always have kind of a group dinner. Different people bring almost potluck style dishes, and sometimes, you know, one person will cook or whatever, and we just have a big kind of family dinner, and then we play music, and I showed some of those guys my radio setup, which is fun.
Maybe get some more people involved. How many people there are actually playing instruments? And do you have a variety, or is everybody on the violin or the fiddle?
We have 8 adults that play, and then sometimes we can talk some of the kids who are my students into playing. They always want to go out and play out in the woods or whatever. So sometimes we can talk the kids into pulling out their instruments and playing with their parents or whatever. But so when we got extra kids, might be like, I don't know, 3 or 4 other people playing. But we have 8 adults. Let's see. We got 2 violins, a viola, 2 cellos, a big double bass. We have a woman who plays harp, and another woman who plays melodica.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Any of them play any of the mountain or bluegrass type music, or was it mostly hymns and classical stuff?
They do mostly hymns and classical stuff, but every now and then I'll try to incorporate a fiddle tune in there. So I've got a few fiddle tunes in their repertoire already. But yeah, they mostly do, like, they want to do stuff for their church, and then we play classical music because it's fun, and it also helps teach them, you know, because some of them have been playing music for years, but maybe on different instruments or whatever, so some of them are more proficient than others. Some are brand new, like I started teaching them after I was teaching their kids or whatever, so there's a mix of abilities there, so most of the music that we play is relatively easy, but it is fun.
Good. Always, I love string. I love brass. I like it when they're mixed. I like it when they do the, you know, separate quartets and low brass ensembles, things like that. I play trombone. That was my main instrument. instrument. And I really enjoyed playing with a low brass ensemble. But enjoyed it, you know. I got to get back into it. I've got time now, and, well, I will have time. Get these projects done. It's one thing I used to say, doing what I was doing for all those years, I really didn't have a lot of time to be. I wanted to buy myself a new instrument and get back into it and start participating with some groups.
Man, I think that's a great idea, Shane. It's really fun to play music. And there's something about, you know, the fact that you got to do it with your hands that really trains your brain in a way that there's not much else that can train your brain like playing a musical instrument. The left hand, right hand, you know, right brain, left brain coordination of it all, and the ability to keep time and effectively send signals to your fingers and whatever, like, in a timely manner and keep a beat and rhythm and play in tune and all that. I mean, it's incredible brain training. So, yeah, man, if you can find a little brass ensemble, I bet that'd be pretty sweet, dude.
For that, I could work my way up to a brass quintet. I would enjoy that, but I'd be the only trombone player in something like that. So I'd really have to get proficient again, or really more proficient than I ever was.
Some students, like when I was teaching in private school for a few years before my son was born, sometimes we would take the band music and transfer it over, or sometimes we had like flex band material, and so I'd have the violins playing flute parts, but frequently I'd have my cellos playing trombone parts, so that's cool.
Self that I wanted to learn to play the cello and the violin in that order, or either one, but I really like the cello. And we're up in Ohio visiting family six months ago or so, and one of my cousins offered her violin, or one that she used to use in school, and she didn't have it on her at the time, but she said she would go home and get it to me at some point. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I don't know if I'll be able to do anything. I don't know what condition it is in. She said it's playable, so we'll see. But maybe I'll either be able to scratch out a tune, or I'll scare the dog out of the house, one or the other.
Just put some fresh strings on that thing, and it'll probably sound pretty good.
An accordion, I think they call it a piano accordion, because it's got the keyboard on the one side and then the buttons on the other side. It was her mother's. My mother's 80, she'll be 85 this year. Or no, she is 85. And she got it when her mother passed away a few years ago, and she doesn't do anything with it. And she says she's going to give it to me, but I think she's going to wait till she dies. So it's just sitting in the closet, and I feel bad about going over there. Hey, can I take this? You know, because she can't do anything with it, and it was her mother's. So I'm really interested in that, just messing around with that. We have a piano at home, and I've got a couple of guitars and a five-string banjo. I heard you talking with somebody the other day about the five-string banjo. I can do some rolls. I'm more the, you know, three-finger picking. I'm not good enough to play with anybody, and it's a very difficult thing. You're talking about that right brain, left brain thing. I'm still, my brain is a little slower at, you know, I can't just take something and pick it up and do really well. I can pick it up and work at it, but I wasn't gifted where I could just sit down and just start playing something like I've been doing it for years. But I enjoy it. I enjoy all aspects of it.
Mostly proficient on the violin, but cello, and I can play viola because it's basically like playing a big violin. But, you know, and then other string instruments I can play pretty well. I wouldn't call myself a good guitarist or a banjo picker by any means, but I can mess around on a guitar and make it sound cool. But, yeah, really, I mean, So I can figure out how to play just about anything. Now, if I sat down and spent time at it, I could get good at playing anything. But just to pick up an instrument, like my buddy Brian, he had a saxophone that his granddad had played in the Army during World War II. And he was like part of the Army band or whatever, his platoon band or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how he fit in there, but he played it in the Army. And so Brian had this saxophone from World War II that was all tarnished and, you know, some of the keys were broken and things like that. So he had a guy restore it and try to keep it as original as possible, you know. If he could fix a part or whatever, that's what he did. And if he had to replace a part, then he would. And he shined it up real good. And Brian got that sax back, and it looked great. And so he had got a couple of reeds, one for him and one for me. So Brian used to play sax in high school, so he played a little bit on it, and that was cool. And then he washed the mouthpiece off and stuck a fresh reed in there for me, and he said, give it a try. And it took me a minute to be able to make a sound come out of that thing, but once I figured it out, then I started playing scales, and then I started playing scale exercises, and then Brian yanked that sax back from me, and he said, give that back to me. You're learning at an exponential rate.
Where's that? Okay. Yeah, that's fun. I have a bass trombone that I looked up the serial number when I bought it in high school, and it was made in 1921. I was just thinking about it when you started talking about that saxophone, and it seemed old when I had it, you know, but or when I bought it, and now I'm like, wait a second, that's more than 100 years old now. It played okay. It's a little stuffy. I mean, I managed with it, but I don't know if, you know, brass instruments aren't the kind of things that get better with time, like some certain violins, certain stringed instruments do, but brass instruments can actually degrade. So it probably needs a lot of work. It's playable, but when I go from that to a more modern trombone, the difference, just the ease of which everything works, you know, especially being able to blow through it, just, it's almost like there's something stuck inside it that's blocking some of the air going through. I know there's not, but it just kind of plays that way.
This is KG4 ZGS. I saw a video recently of somebody who works on brass instruments, and I think in the video he was saying that he's been slammed because he's one of, like, only a handful of people that actually knows how to work on a tuba, you know, or, you know, a trombone or whatever, dude, like a French horn, or, like, he's one of the few people that knows how to shape all those tubes and everything and how to fix an instrument. Like, there's not very many people that work on them. Like, luthiers generally are a rare breed, you know, for string instruments, but I know a couple people just in this area that can work on violins or guitars or whatever, but apparently this was one of the few dudes in the country that could work on a tuba.
Pretty amazing. It's a skill. I mean, any of that stuff. I used to think years ago I would like to learn how to make stringed instruments, but I'm pretty confident that I don't have the ability. I like working with wood, and I can make some stuff, but I don't think I have the patience or the ability, the skill that it would take. Maybe I could learn it, you know, being taught by someone, but it's, I have great respect for people that are masters at their craft in making things.
I heard you talking to Gary about that last night. I was thinking about it. I was like, man, I wonder if either of these guys would make an instrument, you know, but I think Gary said maybe he had a pattern for a violin, or he knew somebody that had a pattern or something, but yeah, man, woodworking is way beyond my skill ability. I can play instruments, but I think if I tried to make an instrument, it would be like if, you know, like if a 10-year-old or a 5-year-old tried to make an instrument, it would be really crude, like just a terrible... It's kind of like when I try to, like, I'm right-handed, so when I try to write with my left hand, it looks like 5-year-old chicken scratch, you know? Like, if I tried to make an instrument, it would look like that.
I understand. But, you know, most of the people that do that kind of stuff, they apprenticed from an early age, and a lot of times it was, you know, from a family member, either father or grandfather. And I think that's a missing concept. I wish I been done more of that with my kids. You know, I taught them how to work on the car and change the oil and, you know, all the things around the house, fixing things. And but just, you know, doing a job like that where you're a cobbler or a instrument maker, and your child apprentices with you from, you know, 11, 12 years of age. I mean, by the time they're in their 20s, they've mastered a skill that's going to take them through the rest of their life.
Yeah, I hope my son wants to learn how to play music from me. I'd love to teach him and jam with him.
I mean, there's a fine line between, you know, forcing them to do it, something that they don't really want to do. Kind of like with ham radio, you know, I never forced my kids into it. One of my sons has his license now. I did tell him in high school, you know, there's all kinds of scholarships out there for college for young ham radio operators. If you just get your license, you know, there's scholarship money. There's a lot of private individuals that, you know, $500 here, $1,000 here. It adds up quick. And he still didn't do it until after he graduated from college and was married. So, but he did it. But I never wanted to force him to do that. So, but if you can start with your son at an early age and teach him the love for it, I think that'll. And if he's got talent, you know, that's part of it too. Some kids just they're just not designed or built or created to play music.
Sometimes some of my students or some of my friends will ask, like, "Hey, are you gonna play violin? Are you gonna teach your son how to play violin?" And I say, well, I mean, you know, if he wants to learn, sure, I'd love to teach him, but I don't want to, like, make him do it, you know. I want to try to foster whatever he's interested in. If he, you know, if I have an effect on that by him observing me and wanting to do what dad does or whatever, then that's cool. But I definitely don't want to make him do anything, really. If he wants to do it, I'd love to teach him.
Where do you step ahead because you got the gift to teach, where some parents don't. They try to force something on their kids and they can't even teach it, you know. But anyway, but you know, I've seen videos of little 3 and 4 year old kids that are virtuosos on the violin, so you may have waited too late to start.
Yeah, dude, I think my wife showed me a video yesterday, I think it was a 2-year-old playing the drums, and this kid was just a little rock star. It was a relatively simple beat or whatever, but he was on the beat, and it sounded good, and he was really enthusiastic about being a rock star, and I was like, man, that is cool.
Fortunate enough to know of several people in my life from back in my younger days all the way through that till now that they were born with a gift. And I know that, you know, they practiced a lot, but to them it wasn't practice. It was what they wanted to do, and they loved it. And, you know, I'll stand there and just in amazement and just watch them play the piano or do whatever they do. And, like, I could practice forever and never get as good as they are, you know. Even in, I had a friend in high school, elementary school, 5th grade, I'd go spend the night with him, and I'd have to entertain myself for 2 hours while he practiced the piano. For 2 hours as a, 10 or 11-year-old in the orchestra as the guest pianist, as a 12 years old, and then he went on, got his doctorate, and was teaching college-level piano for years and years and years, so... But he was gifted. But he worked hard. I mean, he didn't do anything else but play the piano.
That's awesome. My dad plays the piano, and I have a piano, and sometimes I mess around with it. My son frequently wants to sit in my lap so he can tap on the keys, and that's pretty cool. I'd love to be able to be a proficient piano player. That's really awesome. You get a lot of range on a piano. But for me, I wanted to learn how to play the violin. And when I first started playing, it's like practice was kind of tedious. And then I found fiddle music when I was a teenager. And from there, it didn't feel like practice anymore. It was just like, oh, this is a cool tune. I want to learn how to play it. And I'd sit there and play it and play it and play it until I had it memorized. And then after a couple years of memorizing tunes, I started playing for dances, and I started improvising on the tunes. And when I was in orchestra, they put me, when I was in sixth grade and I started, they put me in second violin, which is kind of a harmony part to the first violins. And I hated being second violin because I wanted to play the lead part. I wanted to be a first violin. And, but as an adult, as a fiddle player playing first violin all the time, playing lead fiddle, I'm always most impressed when I meet another fiddle player that can improvise harmonies on the fly. Like, they can be an effective second violinist. It's a much more impressive skill to play second violin than it is to play first violin. Even though first violin is what everybody recognizes as the melody, an effective second violinist is very impressive. So I like to teach my students how to play first violin so I can play second violin with them.
Sounds like you've got it all figured out. Yeah, the first violin or fiddle, first fiddle is, like you said, mostly just playing the melody with some improvising here and there or when someone else picks up the melody, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, I know you enjoy it. I enjoy listening to that. I'm not a part of any of that. I don't play in any stringed instruments like that. Maybe one day. I've still got, if I live long enough and have enough time, I feel like I've still got plenty of time I could learn something. But I'll tell you what, it's a little bit more difficult to learn things now than it was when I was younger. And back to your piano, what you're saying, your dad played the piano. See, he should have forced you to play when you were young. He should have made you start playing it. And maybe you would be proficient today. Anyway, Chris, I'm holding in the driveway. I enjoyed it. Love talking about music. You have a good day, and be careful going home. We'll talk to you. N4ZLK.
Take care, Shane. Great to talk to you this evening. And 73 is to you, bud. N4ZLK from KG4ZGS. I'll be clear.